So as Heidi was saying, this is a different service. Many people will be talking. Have you noticed my hair? Did you notice it? And the way I seldom wear this. I always wear it when Louisa says, wear it. But today, she didn't do it. The reason why I wear it, because somebody gave me a nice shoes. And I love it. So it had to look fit, complete this time. But anyway, good morning, everyone. Good morning to my from the Philippines, people from the Philippines that I love and I cherish, and the Lumiwes family. Love you guys. Because the Lumiwes family, have been with them ever since they were children. And I don't know what happened. They came here and we came here together. But anyway, this is short, 5 minutes, okay? Just listen. If you've got your... Can you open it? I want you to see something here. On the first page, it says there... Okay, let's read it together. Ready? That we grow up. We grow in life together. Let it begin. We grow in life together. Did you find it?
Yes.
Let's read it again. We grow in life together in a place we call home, where Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, is it there? This is actually the vision statement of our church. And we've preached a little bit, some few preachings that we've tackled before. But this time we'll make it clearer for everyone, that hopefully you will get into your spirit that this message, okay? We make it sure that we are moving together in one direction. And one of the values, actually it's a really value of this church, is this is a family. We are in a family, amen. The family of God. But before that family becomes strong, it has to have a different families that are strong too. So we gave some messages about how to build a strong family, your own family, because we believe that being a witness and being a disciple, to make disciples is a mandate for everyone. Amen. But you have to multiply yourself. And that's not just by teaching, but be an example. If you are a father to your children, if you are a student to, if you are studying, or you are a mother, and including your wife, if your wife is a bit stubborn, and your husband, if he's stubborn, hopefully you can disciple him to become closer to, like, be like Christ. So that was the goal. Now it says there, to call home. So you are here in a place called home, which is the local church called, how do you call your church? Green Bay Life Church. I'm from this church, sorry. Don't worry. So, call home. So it means that this is a family. But there has to be a head. And that head is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So it means that we have a goal, that in this church, that Jesus really is the Lord. Let's read that verse which I ask, and let's read this, and this is the secret which we're going to do, and we unveil it to you. Psalms 1:3, let's read it. Ready, begin. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. In a church that there is no life, I don't know if you want to go to the church, but in a church that there is life, you love to go to the church. What do you mean by life? Life. You just enjoy being there. Amen. You see the faces. Have some people like me. Yes, oh, wow. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's my word. Okay, that's only by faith. Don't worry. And so that's the goal, that our church will have life. not just the eternal life that when we receive Jesus, we're going there because we have it in our heart. It's more than that. That as we go through our journey of faith, we go together with life. Bringing life. They know we are alive. I love the worship. That's a wonderful worship. Thank you. What's her name?
Chin.
Chin. Thank you, Chin.
Chin.
What?
Chin.
No, I love this couple. Don't worry. My mind is just going around. But anyway, so when we say dwelling together in unity, it doesn't mean that we are in conformity with everything. And the best English?
Example.
The best example for unity is the Trinity.
That's true, yes.
They have a goal, but they have their own function, but they don't overlap. They don't argue with each other. Oh, no, I'm better than you. Jesus, this is, let's do this. No, nothing like that. Jesus, when he was on the form of man, he would stay all night just to seek the Father's mind. When he chose the 12 apostles, and then when he was at Gethsemane, he stayed there, communicating with his Father. And the Holy Spirit was just there. When he's needed, they work together, even in creation. The Father was there, he's speaking the Word, which is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Jesus was there in creation. And in verse 2 of chapter 1 in Genesis, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. So they were there in creation, even when they created man. Let us create man according to our image, the Bible says. So they work together, but they know their function. I know my function. That's why I don't insist to do something that I'm not good at. I'm not gifted at. So in the church, that's why it calls a body. Paul calls it a body that has different parts. And we should understand that even if we have our own functions, we're born in different families, different culture. I have a different culture with Pastor Andrew. But we work together. I have sometimes, even if you are living together, in the family with your husband and wife, there will always be differences. How to clean the bathroom, how to hang the clothes. My wife wants me to hang the clothes. What is this? She doesn't want me to fold it because it's, I don't know, I don't understand. But I have my own way. But still, even if we argue, I will not say, oh, from now on, you're no longer my wife. No. We stay together. We stick into that goal. Amen. So with the church, there will be differences among us. Some pray loud, like our brother. Some pray
silent,
just in the mind. Doesn't matter. God looks at the heart. I pray loud too sometimes, but depends. When I'm in the car, in the bus, driving the bus, I don't do that because they might be wondering what's happening to the driver. So in here, there will be differences. There are things that we want to do that it cannot be done. You know what the secret of that? Just pray, Lord, may I understand. I told this to Pastor Andrew the other day. If you want a good relationship, if you're working in a company or whatever, seek first to understand before you can be understood. If you have that in your heart, you will surely have a lot of friends in your workplace, even the hardest people in your workplace or in the church. I'm not hard, I don't know. Hopefully not. But anyway, that's our intention today. So hopefully you all understand your part in the body. Because as Pastor Joey said, when we get to heaven, God will not say, oh, have you been better than dads? It's not. Because the only gauge is good and faithful servant. If you've been vacuuming the floor, and I'm preaching, there's no difference. God will ask you, good and faithful servant, if you did it by faith, what we're doing. And God will tell me to, good and faithful servant, because I did the best that I can do for His glory. So we're all equal in His sight. What is important is our heart. So we come here, seek first to understand, because before you can be understood. Put that here. Okay? So now, I think I'm done. Who's next? Oh, by the way, the next one is the brain of many things in this church. So his brain is like the brain of Pastor Andrew. That's why they get together. It keeps working. If they're sleeping, their brain is working. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor. That's. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, visitors and GBLC family. I'm Victor, Heidi's husband, and Hasaya's dad. Our family has been part of GBLC since 2017, nearly 10 years now. And since 2019, we've been blessed with the chance to lead the steward and to steward the environment and presentation ministry. The ministry's mission is simple: to make GBLC a welcoming, safe, and inclusive place of worship. One of the joys and also the greatest challenge of our journey is learning, upskilling, and striving for excellence for the Lord through a process of continuous transformation. If we look closely, we'll notice GBLC is constantly transforming. The preaching is getting better and stronger. More leaders are stepping up. Our music and worship is getting better and better, and more members are getting involved in stewardship. We've been blessed with a renovated space. Most importantly, our vision has also been rewritten to reflect the growth and the continuous transformation of GBLC. Because of this growth, our ministry is undergoing a visual identity refresh to support these changes. A visual identity refresh is more than just a new look. It's a way to communicate the new message, our new vision of who we are as a church family. We see this pattern of transformation throughout the Bible. For example, Moses was slowly transformed from an Egyptian prince to a shepherd, and finally to a leader of God's people. His speech, his life, and even how he presented himself as he was shaped for God's work. Abraham, God changed his name from the exalted father to father of a multitude. This is to reflect a new covenant and a bigger purpose. Another example is Jacob changed his name to Israel. He moved from being a deceiver to a prince with God, marking a shift in his very nature. And another one is Saul to Paul. This was a total transformation of mission, turning a persecutor into an ambassador for Christ. In each case, the outward identity changed to match the internal transformation. While we aren't changing our name, we are transforming how we communicate and represent ourselves visually to align with what God is doing among us today. As part of our visual identity refresh, I'm excited to present our new logo and the story of our new continuous transformation. slide 3, please. We are united as one body. We are individuals. We are like filament of Pohutukawa's flower. We got connected. Though diverse, we were united as one body in Christ, each serving with unique gifts. We grow in life together. Slide 4, please. We are called to open the door of our hearts to Jesus and to the community he calls us to love. We show who Jesus is to others. Slide 5, please. Our home, Green Bay Life Church, is a place we call home where Jesus Christ is Lord. We treat one another like family, helping, serving, and growing side by side. Slide 6, please. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the God Father Almighty. There he shall come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, God's holy church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Just like in the Bible, God often uses real, tangible things to help us remember His promises and our journey with Him. Think of the rainbow, which was His sign to Noah, and he would never flood the earth again. Or the Passover blood on the doorposts in Exodus, a clear mark of protection and redemption for His people. And of course, the ultimate tangible example is the cross, the powerful sign that our debt, our brokenness, and our sins has been paid in full. In the same way, I hope our new logo becomes a tangible reminder of our personal journey and our journey collectively as a church of continuous transformation. Individually and collectively, we are all slowly being transformed in the full version of who God wants us to be. Last slide, please. Another tangible sign to remind us of our continuous transformation as a church is the Casting Nets Corner. This is located in the cafe area and shows God's faithfulness to Green Bay Life Church through the building journey through the years. It honors people, past and present, who have been instrumental in us having our current place of worship. There are many people not mentioned due to the space limitations, but we honor them all the same. I invite everybody to spend some time to read about the past, the present, but more importantly, the future that God has placed in our leaders' hearts. We do not know if we will be around to see its fruition, but we cast the vision all the same, so that he who hears or he who sees it can run with it. We are called to fully participate, to give our best and always strive for excellence in everything we do for Him. We never want to represent the Lord in a stagnant way or a dull way, like a withered branch that has stopped producing fruit. May these tangible signs remind and encourage all of us to continue to grow, to continue to be changed, and to continue to be transformed into His likeness. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Dads, and my very handsome today husband. So, as you came in, you would have received a welcome pack. And I wanted to focus on just four things there. You've got cards that talks about getting involved, getting connected, next steps, and if you need prayer. And as Vic encouraged us, and as Pastor Daz encouraged us, let's participate. And that may mean that if you need prayer, fill out that form that says, I need prayer. That's participating. Or if you want to get connected, you're new here, or you want to be involved in a life group, there's a Get Connected form. Please fill that out. Or if you want to know what your next steps is in your Christian life, next steps is right there. Or if you want to get involved in any way, you have a gift, you're being encouraged today, you've got something you're hiding and you want the body to kind of, you know, what's the word?
To be a blessing.
Yes, that's it. Thank you, Pastor Dad. To be a blessing, then fill that out. So, yes. I would now like to invite Tito Ferdi Catral, who is one of our church elders, to the front. So, Tito Ferdi and Tony lead the property and maintenance ministry, and both have been so, so critical in ensuring that the recent renovations to our beautiful building were structurally sound, passed all council requirements, and were completed within budget, under budget, actually. And none of this would have been possible without Tony and Tito Ferdi, so we honor you today. And so, church, let's encourage Tito Ferdi as he comes and takes the stage.
It's exciting. Good morning, family. On behalf of our property and maintenance group with Tony, I would like to give a report on the building project as part of Green Bay Life Church's continuous transformation. We are a blessed church. So many congregations do not have a church building of their own. We have this beautiful facility, an ongoing legacy of our leaders and members of the congregations that have gone before us. We owe a debt of gratitude to the sacrificial saints who have gone before us, and in return, it is our responsibility to steward this property well as a part of honor to them by preserving our church facility for future generations of believers. Next slide, please. Back to other slide, please. Okay, to start with, let's take all a moment to revisit the vision and the transformative journey that had shaped Green Bay Life Church over years. Next slide. Our church's beginnings. In 1949, a house church was established and first gathered in Mrs. Davis' home. Next slide. On November of 1959, due to congregational growth, the first church built on this site was St. Paul's Church. Next slide. Officially opened in 20th of August 1960, beginning its journey with a 10,000 debt. And in 1968, the church was debt-free. Next slide. And in 1978, the original church building was destroyed by fire, which was a major turning point. Next slide. In 1981, a new church building was rebuilt and completed with the help from the church members, local community groups like the Scouts, the Cubs, and the Girl Guides. Next slide, please. And this was the new rebuilt St. Paul's Church building. This shows that our church has deep root in the Green Bay community. Going back over 65 years, and as the congregation grew, the church had to expand as a continuous transformation, reflects a shift from a small local church to a more structured, multi-purpose community church. Next slide. Over time, the church evolved into what we now call Green Bay Life Church, under the Life Church International. Between the year 2000 to 2010, there was a plan to build a new auditorium. to accommodate 150 people. However, this plan was put on hold due to lack of funding. Next slide. And in 2020, Green Bay Life Church felt a clear call to pursue the long-term redevelopment plan to expand our facilities to better serve its growing congregation and community. Next slide. These are the stages of our long-term development plan. Stage one, renovation of a new of our existing building, which was completed in November of 2023. You can clap your hands. And stage two, the construction of a new auditorium and other works not done in stage one. For more than 2 years, working with our consultants, praying and fasting, and fundraising. Next slide. In May of 2023, we decided to close down our existing building for the stage one renovation, which took 5 months to complete. Next slide. And in November of 2023, we moved back into this building, newly renovated and made fit for this season of our church life together. Next slide. We are ever thankful to the Lord for bringing us this far. For the glory of God, we humbly present the actual renovation costs based on our recorded expenses. Next slide. Too fast. Not too fast. When we started stage one, our building fund is $297,000. Knowing it wouldn't be enough yet, we stepped forward in faith. As the work progressed, provision came in unexpected ways. Through generous hearts, timely support, and provision we could not have orchestrated ourselves. Until the renovation was completed at a total cost of $552,752. This renovation is more than a physical transformation. It is a testimony of God's provision and willingness of His people to give, to serve, and believe. What began as a limitation became a testimony of God's hands at work. This was more than a financial shortfall being covered. It was a clear reminder that when God's hands move, human constraints no longer define the outcome. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. Psalms 127:1. With these numbers, we saw that God doesn't simply provide. He is the one who multiplies far beyond what we bring. Now, for the exciting part, let me present to you stage two. Next slide. That's all. These are in red colors. It comprises the construction of a new auditorium and additional works that were not completed during stage one. These additions are designed to meet current and future needs while maintaining consistency with the vision established in stage one. I am pleased to present to you the concept overview of stage two project. The following slides, some perspective rendering developed by our architects Morrison and Associates, showcasing the vision and character of the proposed new auditorium and associated works. Next slide, please. So this will be the new look of the new auditorium. It will be built nearer the road. Next slide. So this is a view from Bardon Road. Next slide, please. This will be the entrance, or what we call the driveway. Next slide. And this will be a future foyer where we can meet our guests. Next slide. This will be our new worship area. Next slide. And this is the view of the podium where Pastor Dad is standing. Next slide, please. Other views of the podium. There, can you see Pastor Andrew? Next slide, please. And this will be the hallway between the old facility and the new one.
It seems like there is no Filipinos there.
Next slide, please. And of course, this will be our future cafe area. I hope this overview gives you a feel for the vision and generate excitement on our Stage 2 project. Next slide. Okay, so the estimated project cost for Stage 2 is $2.5 million to $3 million based on the proposals from two contractors, including consultants' fees and council-related costs. Next slide. We sense that it is time to press on with Stage 2 of our project. Yet, we are still waiting on the Lord, trusting Him for His right timing. Even now, we are already seeing signs of growth. As we broaden our vision for a multicultural church, we also see that God strengthening our leadership and expanding our ministries. All of this reminds us that God is at work among us, preparing us for what it is to come. Our dear Green Bay Life Church family, we stand at the dawn of a new day, hearing the call to cast our nets once again in faith and trust God to bring the right person to us. Like before we started Stage 1, we trust on God's word and believe that He will bring again the increase. Next slide. In John 21, verse 6, Jesus gives direction to His disciples. Jesus said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." They obeyed, and their net is immediately overflowing with fish. Our new auditorium project can be seen as our act of obedience, represents faith for growth, creating a space to gather more people for God's kingdom, and believing God will fill what is being prepared. The miracle, my friends, was not just in the cuts, but in the step of obedience that made it possible. One thing I am sure of, together we can do much more. Amen. For He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we can ever ask or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. Our Green Bay Life Church family, by faith, let's all cast our nets today. Thank you, and to God be the glory.
Thank you, Tita Ferdy. You're so eloquent. We should have you up here more often. All right, next up is Pastor Andrew. He's one of our elders, and he's really been keeping us in line and encouraging us along the way. So we'd like to invite Pastor Andrew to share with us this morning.
Thank you, Heidi. It's great. Good to be in church, isn't it? Great to be together and share these wonderful things. God is good, amen? Amen. Thank you, Ferdy, for that, and Victor, for your amazing presentation. Jeremy and Ezra, Pastor Jeremy and Ezra, and Dads and Louisa, we're so thankful, and the wider family, and everybody here in this room. I'm very big on the familyhood of the church, as you well know, and nobody can do anything all by themselves. If the giftings can come to bear, as Pastor Dad's opened up, there's the heart of it right there, the family. Connected as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are connected. You know, they're not separate people. Totally three and totally one. And that's the model of we've been presented with for church life. And so we can hardly become jealous of ourselves. Your gifting is my gifting is your gifting. I know this is hard to grasp because the world has so infiltrated our doctrine that we forgot what it really means to be the church, but not here at Green Bay Life Church, amen? I won't be long, I'm going to lead into communion. I think that's what that is sitting there right there, is that right? Good, just checking. I want to read that scripture again. You know, for Virginia and I, before I read it, we're just so glad to be part of Green Bay Life. This goes back, Ezra, remind me again, the years are going by. So 2012, the years are rolling by. I'm getting older, I got grayer and got less hair. Closer to heaven. But, you know, we've been at this familyhood of the church adopted originally by Valley Road Church in Mount Eden, but now it's a bit wider than that. Things are morphing and changing, and we have our LCI family of churches around New Zealand, North Island, and all our Filipino churches down the South Island. And then in Australia, there's the biggest group of all, and then churches been planted in Nepal and Vietnam, and in many, many places. And now we're seeing some greater connection going on in the Philippines, even talking with Pastor Marnie and Beth. Nice to meet you today too, a real joy. Things are happening up in that part of the world within the LCI wider thing. So for us, we're very... Hello. I know. My grandchildren love me to bits. That's all right, Ezra. As long as she's quiet, that's fine. But we are truly blessed, aren't we, dear? So we thank you so much. John 21:4-6. Let me read it again just quickly, and this will lead up toward communion, actually. When the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Brother Ferdy read this to us, or part of it. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. You don't always know it's Jesus. But I assure you, many times, probably Jesus has confronted us and we didn't know it. It's a thought, isn't it? It's a thought to just kind of be on our game, just in case. It was Jesus and not a fractious neighbor. Then Jesus said to them, children, isn't that interesting? Well, I'm not preaching on this, I'm just reading it. Have you any food? They answered him, no, and he said to them, cast your net on the right side of the boat, which implies they were, up to that point, casting it on the left side of the boat. I used to go fishing with my Uncle Fred in a little wee small dinghy, we call them. You know what a dinghy is? It's a little boat about a meter and a half wide. So there's not a lot of difference between the left side and the right side when it comes to the water underneath. And sometimes the moves of faith are seemingly kind of a bit random, really, to us. Maybe we can't see the point. But the point was they were willing to do something just a little bit different. And he said, you'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. All I can say is God knows which side to fish on. And God is a miracle worker. Amen. We are not miracle workers, my friends. We believe in the current work of the Holy Spirit, but I assure you that the Almighty is the worker. And we are the humble servants, whatever we do. We've enjoyed many celebrations over the years, and I got to say, I've anticipated this one more than any, wherever I've been, to be honest, because something special is happening around us. Yes, within Green Bay Life Church, but in the world. We were just reflecting, my wife and I, that we need to be a little bit careful we don't just get too tied up in the news, because the news will depress us. Or the news might skew our thinking in terms of what's going on. And all I know is I don't expect the world to be in order. It's under the dominion of the other powers. I believe we need to keep our eyes fixed on the kingdom of God. Otherwise, we could become distracted and forget that we are a different kind of people, not trying to work it out and make ourselves a little bit better in an otherwise corrupted world. Amen? We're not the same. And so I'm been looking forward to this so much because I really believe that we're at a point in New Zealand and Green Bay Life Church where there's abundant opportunity. I've been told all over the years, we went to the church 30 years ago in Mount Eden, and people say, "Oh, you don't want to go there. It's a hard part of the city." I says, "Well, I don't do hard parts of anything. I just figure if Jesus wants to win somebody, maybe if it's hard, he needs it even more." And that's kind of how we work. But I really feel that we're standing at the door of a great opportunity in the Lord. And it doesn't mean that everything we've done is irrelevant. It just means we're building on something, but becoming willing to see things differently than we did before. I got to tell you, my friends, change is challenging. I thank the Lord, maybe it was my upbringing as an old Kiwi. We were sort of the barbed wire and, you know, 2x4 people. We just made it something out of a bit of wire and some timber, and that's how I was brought up. Whatever was available, my dad did. And nothing appeared like it was a problem because we just fixed it. And I see that coming now, that we want to be willing to change, because change is not readily accepted by any of us to some degree. Anything that rattles the status quo will challenge us. When we change, when things change, we have to learn how to move with change, how to lead with change, and we don't always do it perfectly, to be honest. I've made many mistakes in my time, but the fact is that we will be patient with each other because we're building a family. See, this is the mark of the church. We're not the world writing emails to each other and sounding off about things and having arguments. We may have differences. We might have to work through some things, like a family. I mean, I've been married 54 years. Is that right, dear? 55, you see? Maybe I forgot the first year. But praise the Lord. People look and say, one of our elders at Valley Road, he said, "Pastor Andrew, do you in Virginia ever argue? Because they see us as a united couple." Yes, we are. 54 years ironed you out. But it's like that, you know what I mean? We learn as we go. I was not that perfect when I was first married, and neither. Relationally, you've got to learn to live together, work together, be patient with each other, be forbearing, give up some things, and ultimately learn that life isn't about me, it's about the other person. So it's about marriage, but it's also about the church. And so the journey of church life is a call and a commitment to covenant relationship. We got to work through some things. Multicultural church is our deal. The easiest way to have church, let alone the normal problems of life, is to have a one-culture church. Very simple. Well, simpler, perhaps. Maybe not always. But I think this is how heaven is. And if I don't like some of the provincial towns, it's all too Pākehā for me. I love the cultures. I love being with the people. I like the church. I love the fact that Jesus has a vision for the church that is far greater than ours, don't you? But you know, friends, this is where we're at. We will be a model in our relationship within the church, how we work things out, how patient we are, how loving we are, how we kind of forbear. Somebody asked me once, they said, "Pastor Andrew, you're very patient." I said, "If you mean, I can just go through a lot with one look on my face. That's all it means. Pretending I didn't understand what I really do." It's a pastoral skill, isn't it, Marnie? "Oh, really? Oh, okay." But the fact is, though, that I said, "If you mean by patience long-suffering, then I have suffered long, yes." See, to have a suffering-free life, a problem-free life, is not what it is in the world. but we have a Savior who will strengthen us by His Spirit to overcome all things. And be like Jesus, be like the Father, be like the Son, be like the Holy Spirit. So we're on this current journey for some time now, discovering where our gifts fit, and that continues. And now we come to this question of the building. And I thank you, Brother Ferdy, for putting that out there and freaking us out with the $3 million bill. But then the optimist in me said to myself, well, there's 5 million odd people in New Zealand. All we need is a dollar each, and we'll have $2 million over. Is the glass half full or is it half empty? You got to know something if you hear those figures. I kind of tend to, with churches, put it out in small doses so people don't get frightened. What's a lot to one family may not be so much to many families. And you got to know something just before you leave the church in fear, that we don't have a philosophy of any kind to pressure what is not reasonable and not as in keeping with good stewardship. You know, hyping it up and just trying to impoverish everybody to build a building is not really what we do. But I still have faith to believe that our part, when we step out and we sow in faith, the little bit can become much. I always said to the elders, and I almost out of belief than absolute conviction, if you know what I mean, that if we've got what we had. We have a building fund. We had a building fund. It wasn't enough. Let's do the bit we can with what we have. But before we knew it, we had finished. That's kind of my style. I do that at home. I've learned some lessons in life about spending out of presumption, not faith. So I think ultimately we're going to have to do something. And now it begins to think, to pray, to share together, to be creative in our thinking, and to see how the Lord will lead us. Hey, Jeremy, we've come a long way, haven't we? I want to thank Jeremy and Ezra too. Faithful. I mean, you're just a representative of many, I know, but from the time we started, and probably even before we came on the scene, doing all the stuff without wavering. That's how churches are built, people who stick around. And somebody asked me once, how do you become the pastor? I says, just be the last one to leave and close the doors. I was kidding a bit, of course. So we love to build this church that we have before us. I think it'd be wonderful to see that out there. We all live, you know, we're in this building because somebody else we don't even know. Right back to 1949, when I was just a young fella. You can do your maths. Had the vision to start something. Valley Road Church, we've got a wonderful facility in a very expensive part of town. Well, yeah, we put quite a lot of money into it to refurbish, but the fact is, if somebody hadn't done that before we came along, then we would not be there today. And that's part of our vision. You know, we will not always see the value of what we sow into. You sow into your families, and you might not even live long enough to see the full result. But we sow not just for ourselves, we sow for the future. Amen? And people hopefully will stand up here, and should the Lord tarry, and give testimony of those they never met who provided something that becomes a beacon of hope in a lost world. Amen? And let's not miss Victor's visual refresh. I love the word transformation. That was a good word to use. He made it very clear, and I would say it again, that it's not just having a new logo. It kind of, visual refresh, we need to do it. That's why sometimes we buy something new to put on, a new shirt, you know. I'm reinventing myself. New glasses, you know. Well, don't look at mine, but why not? Thank you, dear. But it actually heralds a new beginning. You know, when we say about a new beginning, transformation is a series of new beginnings. From glory to glory, we are transformed into His likeness. Isn't that right? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, be metamorphosed from one thing into something completely new. And you know, friends, this is the challenge again. I think it's a joyful challenge. I love it. because I'm wired that way. I'm a rebel at heart. I like to change things. But to be transformed does mean we're willing to turn up not looking quite the same as we did yesterday. Some people own their problems, they own their dysfunction, they own even the way they look, like I was when I was a school kid. When I first got glasses at a young age, I was so embarrassed to turn up in school and have to put them on, because you're different, you know? Is that just my insecurity? Anybody like that? Is that fair how it is when you're younger, you know? But hopefully we don't remain children forever, that's the idea. And we have to be willing to turn up looking different. I don't mean you clothe yourselves different, but you know what I mean. I'm not going to just own my dysfunction or own my problem so I don't have to face the fact that somebody says, ah, you've changed. Because, you know, transformation, the worship, you see, we're lifting new gifts, new levels. There's no judgment on anybody. It's just the fact that gifts make room and we all participate, and we're willing to go and be a little different. Maybe, hopefully, we're becoming more like we should be. and we're very blessed. And so we're seeing a great team arise. We've got very gifted people. I have to say this. This is my little opportunity. That don't underestimate the level of giftedness and who in this church. The capacity, the gifts that remain, probably in many that we don't even know yet about, is significant and greatly appreciated. But you know, at the end of it, my friends, and I start to come toward communion on this, what we do and what you do out of your giftedness and out of your willingness is not really the issue. What we do is not as important as who we become. You know, that to me, this is the greatest discipleship lesson and the greatest mark of those who are fit for leadership. Who we are will always be the mark for me rather than what we can actually do. You might have the most gifted people, the most technically able people, you know, the greatest of this, the greatest of that, but who are we as a people? How do we fit together? That's always the issue, because that is the witness. In heaven, they might not need me for what I learned to do at university, because it'll be total relationship with the Father. Who we are, my friends, is the witness to this community. Lost people are losing the track of how to live. We see it every day in the news. They're living foolishly because they forgot to give thanks to God, according to Romans. But we as a community are not just a bunch of individuals who turn up to hopefully build a greater number to build a building. That's an outcome, that's a fruit. But the world needs to come and see that this truly is a place to call home, where Jesus Christ is Lord. And Mom, Dad, and the kids, and Grandpa and Grandma will be around until we die. Amen? You're not going anywhere, Pastor Dad, are you? Except fishing, perhaps. Little fishing allowed. All right. So family, we stand at the beginning of a new day. That's how I see it. Let's today be a new day, a new me, a new you, a new opportunity for a new land in this New Zealand. New Zealand desires and demands and deserves. We go back to some of our foundations that the early missionaries brought to us. Even I remind myself, Martin is my surname. Its literal meaning is worshipper of Mars. Something in a name. That's why in the Bible, you get a Christian name. We used to call it a Christian name because I'm not Martin anymore, I'm Andrew. You with me? I know it's Andrew Martin because in our Western world, we sort of make it the surname. I'm not trying to say that we all came from somewhere and praise the Lord, somebody preached and we got saved way back in history and here we are today. At the other end of the earth, when all my forebears were somewhere else. God is about shifting his people around to fulfill his purposes in these days. We've got a great mission ahead of us. So family, we stand at the beginning of a new day. We'll push the boat out further. We'll cast a net over the other side, and we will see what God will do. Amen? Amen. Personally, corporately. Are you up for that? And together, I think Brother Ferdy ended on this too. together. By ourselves, we can do very little. But together, we can do this. Amen? So we come around the communion table, so if the ushers could come and just be ready. But let me just say this about communion. Jesus said when he had that Passover, do this and remember me. If you could just get ready there, guys, so I can just say this, so we can hear this. The main point of communion is to bring us together. It's not, I know we do it personally and we're told to look at ourselves, but actually Paul, when he said, search yourselves, he's saying, search how you relate to your brother, because some of you are rich and you're eating all the food, and some are poor out still bringing in the harvest, and when they come in for the shared meal, it's all gone. It's actually more about who we are together than the fact that you woke up a bit grumpy this morning. People say, well, I'm a bit grumpy. I came grumpy. I got sin in me. Should I not come to communion? I said, sounds to me like you really should. Because it's Jesus' table, not my table, not your table. And I think at his table is where we have our greatest moments, is it not? When we eat together. Let's eat with Jesus today. And you know, I love the old Eastern Orthodox focus on the fact that we can take it too far, I know. But when we come around the communion, we're going to take this in a minute, we're going to hold it until we're all served, that we think about each other, how we are knit together as one family. Not just about me and my faith. We're moving past that. That's part of the new day. Yes, I'm personally saved, but I'm corporately joined to the church. And we'll ask the Spirit of God through this communion. It's not just a symbol, and it's certainly not a, as some traditions would count it, the literal blood and body. It's not at all. But there's more power by faith when we eat and drink together by faith than we would realize, because God attends to that. Jesus is pleased when we realize we're eating and drinking together. Do you remember? I don't know how you were brought up, but my mom and dad, they taught us, you wait till you're all served, and then we start. You know, kids have to be reminded. And we'd usually wait for dad or mom to start first, and then away we went. But you see, that's why we wait together, because it's just a reflection of the Bible pattern, to be mindful of who we are together. And you know, friends, let me finish on this. There's nothing we cannot solve if we have the right heart, because we're a different kind of people. And he didn't leave us alone to do this. The Holy Spirit was sent to enable us. So let the Spirit of God breathe on your faith as you receive communion today. Thank you, ushers. Thank you so much. I'll just pray as that's being handed out. Just keep one eye open to Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for the team here, Lord, for every pastor and elder and leader and congregation member. We're all part of one big team. Lord, finding our place through stammering lips, admittedly, but we're progressing toward your goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We pray that your vision, what you see, will become our vision. That you'll go ahead of the vision. Remember last week, friends, Jehovah will see to it. Jehovah Jireh, my supplier, my provider, literally, Jehovah will see to it. Provision, the vision that goes ahead of what he sees. And so, Father, we join our hearts together today for the days ahead. Lord, that you would breathe upon our hearts and lives, our minds. Settle our hearts with the goodness that you provide to us, and our faith, Lord, to reach out. Lord, we wait upon each other right now. We pray that many will come and they will find this a place called call home, a place where they can be working out life together with patience and forbearance and forgiveness. And Lord, what a joy it is to know that we have heaven before us because of your great work on the cross, and the resurrection, your ascension and resurrection, and your coming again. Great things to look forward to, Lord, but in the meantime, we declare that we will be your people, and you will be our God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. So let's just take that bread together. I think everybody serves. I'll wait for the ushers to serve each other there. There's a hole there. Hallelujah, Father. Well, we all just, even the musicians, if you want to just take a little break to be able to take your communion, that's okay. Let's just do this all together, and then you'll lead us, Chin, will you? Cool. We'll worship the Lord again in music in just a moment, but right now we just give the musos a break to be able to receive their communion. Jeremy can probably do this with one hand anyway. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the broken body. We thank you that we're part of that body. We thank you that you're head and we are the body. Lord, one loaf of bread, many parts, but nevertheless still one. Lord, I pray by your Spirit, Holy Spirit, bring the revelation of what it means to be one body into our midst right now as we eat this together. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's eat together, church. Communion is a holy moment, my friends. It's a sacrament, a means of grace. The Holy Spirit moves upon certain things in a particular way. And communion, the Passover meal, is one of those. We thank you for your blood, Jesus, poured forth. We receive unto ourselves all that that meant. In Jesus' name, amen.